Cybersecurity is more about people than technology sometimes. That's why federal agencies having to do with cybersecurity need certain vacant management positions filled already. Federal News Radio's Eric White discussed this with Mallory Barg Bowman, Vice President for Research and Evaluation at the Partnership for Public Service.
So as you know, that at this point, the Trump administration has only confirmed about 35 positions, and that's taking about an average of about 41 days to confirm each position. Just for comparison's sake, in the last administration, at this point in time, there was 130 positions confirmed. Now, we are really running behind. And, you know, the interesting part with technology at this point is it's not just, you know, the CIOs that you're thinking of at this point. You know, we have started talking more and more about the Internet of Things, where it has become, you know, our critical infrastructure. All of the different networks that our nation relies on are driven in large part by technology. And so any vacancies in some way are a cybersecurity vacancy.
How technical do these confirmation hearings get? I mean, you're talking about Internet of Things and all of that. Congress, for whatever it is, you know, it's a lot of older folks in there. Do they even fully grasp how important these positions are, or is it something like that?
I think that's a really critical point. You know, when you look at positions like the chief information officer, you know, I think in a lot of times they're looking at, you know, that position as technical in nature and really realizing that it's not just about making sure the computers, you know, and email works. It's really about, you know, exercising leadership to make sure that the agency is making the best use of information technology possible. But you also have positions that you don't necessarily think about as being cybersecurity in nature. Things like the Department of Education. When people are thinking about cybersecurity, that's not necessarily the first agency that comes to mind. But if you really think about it in terms of assets held, the Department of Education, with, you know, all of the federal student aid, is almost the third largest bank in our nation. And so you really want people in those positions who understand, you know, how to make sure that data are secure and that, you know, that it's not easy to access that information.
Yeah. And I mean, just you can name off the agencies that have technical capabilities that the average American citizen probably doesn't know about. You know, are there any other agencies like that? Like, I know the Energy Department is facing some issues as well with that.
I think that's right. And, you know, I think a lot of times people don't think about the role that the federal government plays in their day-to-day life. And I think, you know, education is obviously an easy one because so many people rely on that department to go to college. You also have agencies like the Social Security Administration or the Department of Veterans Affairs that people rely on for their benefits and their health care. And it doesn't take all that long to start thinking about the different agencies that you relied on, whether it's Centers for Medicaid and Medicare Services. These are agencies that all have vulnerable information, and you need to have people in leadership roles able to lead. So when you start talking about these vacancies, it's part of the reason the Partnership for Public Service has focused on it so much. It really becomes a critical national security issue when you don't have leaders in place who are ready to, you know, think about the workforce differently and get them ready to protect our networks. It really does become a vulnerability.
We're speaking with Mallory Barg Bowman. She is Vice President of Research and Evaluation at the Partnership for Public Service. And on that leadership front, so do these roles kind of become, since they're in an acting capacity, whoever's filling those roles when, you know, nobody's in there, do these jobs tend to take on a more passive stance, and maybe they're not implementing programs or creating new programs of fixing potential problems, and instead they're kind of just kind of balancing spinning plates at that time?
Sure. So, you know, I think not all acting individuals are created the same. You know, you have a lot of folks who are coming from the career ranks. They've been in their agency for a long time. They know the agency really well. And particularly for issues like cybersecurity, those may be folks who really know where, you know, some of those vulnerabilities lie and are really well positioned to help the agency lead. What happens when somebody is in acting, you don't have the same, you know, ear of the president and that close tie to the political establishment that you would otherwise have. So when you need to make big changes and big investments, you don't have the weight of the political workforce behind you. But, you know, acting individuals really do have a powerful opportunity to change. And this is also an opportunity to really make good use of the inspector general community and GAO. They, you know, in many cases, they've really also looked at these vulnerabilities and have highlighted places for agencies to start. So, you know, when a new individual is coming into the agency and they need a place to start, looking at the cybersecurity workforce, this is a place to get started.
And I imagine we've talked up and down on this network and plenty of other places you've seen the cyber workforce shortage in the government. How hard is it to recruit cyber talent when, you know, when there's a captainless ship going to sea?
Oh, it's tremendously hard. And, you know, and as you know, there's, you know, we're starting at a deficit. This is a really hard to recruit workforce. The pipeline of talent isn't there. And the talent that we have is really aging. If you look at just IT professionals in government, so, you know, a subset of that is cybersecurity, you have five times as many individuals who are over the age of 60 as those who are under the age of 30. So, you know, you do really look at a profoundly aging workforce and you don't have the pipeline to fix it. And we've worked closely with Booz Allen Hamilton over the years to look at what are some things that we can do to really, you know, get this talent into government. And it's going to require looking at the security clearance process and speeding that up. It's looking at scholarships and different ways to get students trained, and also easier on-ramps and exit ramps between the sectors, between government and the private sector, that will allow people to do tours of duty within the government. You can look at, you know, 18F and the U.S. Digital Service Corps as role models for that type of arrangement.
Mallory Barg Boldman is a vice president at the Partnership for Public Service. So looking down the road, what sort of risks does the federal government face if these roles continue to be unfilled, and what are we looking at, you know, as far as timeline, and what have you heard about potential finding potential nominees for them?
Sure. So the administration has taken steps in this regard. You know, in May 11th, President Trump signed the presidential executive order on strengthening the cybersecurity of federal networks and critical infrastructure. And you do see things in there around cybersecurity of federal networks. You see information around the Internet of Things and making sure that the NIST framework is implemented and other, you know, really essential efforts are taken underway. There's also a lot of work that happened in the last administration to really focus on cybersecurity workforce positions, whether it's the sharing of cert lists between agencies and other really easy to do things that would make a huge difference. And I hope that the new administration looks at some things that are already in the pipeline, because that's where you're going to get some of those really early wins, because this is really something that, you know, is nonpartisan. We just need to make sure our nation is safe, and this is a really critical piece of it.
And so what should they be looking for in filling these new roles as far as implementing, you know, bringing in a leadership style that can meld together those two different sectors of the workforce that you just described? You know, you got people over 60 and people under 30. That's going to be hard to kind of get to work together, I imagine.
I think you hit the nail on the head there. And it's really going to be about, you know, finding individuals who are comfortable working across silos and breaking down those silos, making sure that individuals understand that they have to work together in order to achieve these outcomes. You need people who can articulate a clear vision for the agency and understand the vision for the agency, whether it's about making sure students go to college or people get the healthcare benefits they need, or, you know, that people are, you know, able to manage their, you know, disabilities or diseases across organizations. You want to make sure that you have people who understand about technology as an enabler, but also making sure that those, you know, vulnerabilities are defended against.
Any suggestion for managers who may not have a confirmed boss as of yet and maybe feeling a little bit, hey, maybe the administration doesn't think our agency is worth anything? What would you tell them?
Always about looking at how you can lead from where you are, that everybody has an opportunity to make a change within their agency. And we know, you know, from years and years of the Federal Employee Viewpoint Survey that in, you know, unbelievably high numbers, federal employees are there because they believe in the mission of their agency. They're there because they, you know, believe that they can use their skills to make a difference, whether it's, you know, whether you're an epidemiologist or a contract manager or a human capital manager. These are really things that you can do to make our nation better, healthier, safer, and really looking at what are the opportunities you can do to make things better in your agency and bring the others along with you.
Mallory Barg Bowman is Vice President for Research and Evaluation at the Partnership for Public Service. speaking with Federal News Radio's Eric White. Find a link to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.